It's time now for the Pulpit Hour, featuring some of God's choice preachers. Stay tuned at the end of today's message for information on how you can obtain a copy of today's sermon.
Have your Bible tonight. Turn with me to the book of 1 Kings. I'm not going to be long before you tonight, and I hope I can be a blessing to you tonight. As I was coming over here tonight, I wrestled with what God would have me to preach, and I wish it was so that God just set my sermons out like He does some preachers. They got them set out a year and ahead of time, but it don't work that way with me. Sometimes I wait till I get to the church, and God directs my mind in a direction, and I just try to follow Him. 1 Kings chapter number 17, and a message that I have preached in days gone by, but it's been a long time since I preached this message, and so you pray for me tonight that God would help me as I try to bring you this little thought tonight. I don't know what you're facing tonight. Don't know how bleak the circumstance is that you're experiencing tonight. We've already witnessed tonight this dear sister that she's come through a great trial, and God has helped her. We never know what we're going to face in this life. But I'm glad that no matter how bad the circumstance, how bleak it might be, there's a God that's able to help us in our time of need. 1 Kings chapter number 17, and I want to start reading in verse number 17. If you read this entire chapter, you'll find we find our first introduction to the man of God by the name of Elijah, and how Elijah predicts a drought for 3.5 years, and how that God uses him. And then He sends him to a place called Zarephath, and the Bible said there's a widow woman there to sustain him. And you know the story of the miraculous touch of the meal barrel, how God used this little widow woman to bake a little cake and sustain the man of God. But here is the rest of the story, I guess you'd say, if, as Paul Harvey used to say, here in verse number 17, after the great miracle of the meal barrel and after all of these things have taken place, the Bible said, and it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. That ought to excite everybody here. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Father, we thank you tonight for the reading of your word. And Lord, tonight we pray that you would help us tonight here in this meeting. Lord, I understand tonight without your aid, Lord, I will be an utter failure tonight in this service. And Lord, I pray tonight, would you touch me, Lord? I ask you, Lord, to cleanse me from anything, Lord, that would hinder the working of your spirit. Father, I pray tonight, God, that you'd move in the midst of this people and help us all, Lord, to receive that we need. Father, I'm glad in the darkest hours of our life, Father, in the most discouraging challenging times, Father, I'm glad you're a God that is an ever-present help in a time of need. And Father, I pray tonight now, just take the message to the hearts of your people. I pray encourage that one that needs it the most tonight. And Lord, we'll give you praise, honor, and glory, for it's in the name of Jesus that we pray and we ask it, amen and amen. As I've read in the verses here tonight, you have a familiar story from the Word of God. As a matter of fact, as we in the previous verses, you'll find the great miracle that God performed upon the meal barrel of that. I'm talking about, it is something else when God touches what you have to the point that even in bleak times, even in barren times, even in bad times, that God is able to touch it and sustain it. Amen. Boy, I'm glad. I know sometimes we look around, the economy's bad and things are bleak, and sure it is. There's a lot of discouragement on every hand. But does it ever occur to you that God is not having a financial crisis tonight? I mean, God is not worried about his stock portfolio tonight. He's not worried about what Wall Street's going to do to his money. Because let me tell you something right now. I'm serving a God that's got all the cattle on a thousand hills, and he's able to meet our needs in time of need. But here's the scene now. I mean, you'd think this little widow woman here, God has sent his man to her house in a time of drought. I mean, he sent this prophet of fire that we know him as in the Word of God to her house. And all of a sudden, I mean, he said, now listen, if you'll make this little cake and you'll do this, said God's going to touch your meal barrel. Can you imagine how she must have thought, man, I tell you, things are really looking up in my life. God is shining on me. I mean, his favor is on my life. Sometimes if we're not careful, when we get blessed in some area, we begin to think that somehow or another, nothing bad will ever happen in our life. We'll never face any more discouragement. But can I say to you, praise God, all of us before morning comes today could face some discouragement, some problem, some trouble that comes our way. Suddenly, amen. But I'm glad that in the midst of those times, I'm serving a God that knows exactly where I'm at, amen. Hey, God hadn't forgot her. Here's the scene, the Bible said, after these things, after what things? All the blessings God had dumped on her. Let me tell you something right now. Sometimes when we think about that, we don't imagine that there's any tests or trials out there in our future. But let me tell you something. I'm glad there's a God. He's got the road charted. He's got the map charted tonight. And he knows which way we're going. Amen. But here's the scene. He said, after these things, the son of the mistress of the house fell sick, the Bible said. I'm talking about her little boy got sick, and the Bible said that no doubt she had done everything she could to try to keep him from dying. But the Bible said as she held her son that he was so sick that there was no breath left in him. And the Bible said his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And the Bible said this, that she began to cry out to the man of God. And Elijah came to her, and the Bible said, give me your son. And the Bible said Elijah took this young man up into the loft and laid him down on the bed. Now I'm talking about, a lot of people might say, well, preacher, you reckon he was really dead? Well, if you ain't got no breath left in you, you're pretty much graveyard dead. I mean, when you're not breathing, I mean, it's pretty much over, amen? But here's the scene. The Bible said that Elijah took him up into the loft, and he stretched himself over the body. Can you see this in your mind? As this man of God stretches himself over the lifeless body of this little boy. I'm talking about, this is a widow woman that he's grown attached to. This is a widow woman's son who he cares for. And here's the man of God stretching himself out over the body of this child, and he begins to pray. He said, oh Lord, my God. And he said, Lord, he said, would you just touch this child and let his soul come back into him? And the Bible said this, that all of a sudden he revived. I begin to think about that. Here is a situation where a little boy has died. It is no more, I mean, there's nothing more final than death. I mean, buddy, it's pretty much when somebody dies, you know what you do? You start digging the grave. Here's a widow woman. As a matter of fact, when she met Elijah, she's already in grave digging mode.
When she met him at the gate, he said, "Hey, would you get me some water and bring me a little cake?" She said, "I have not a cake. I've got a little handful of meal and a little oil, and I've got two sticks, and I'm going to fix a last meal for me and my son. We're going to die." She's done picked out the burial plot. She's already got the tombstone picked out. She's already in grave digging mode. Hey, some of you may have came in here tonight carrying the shovel in your hand in a situation in your life that you've given up on, and it seems like it's hopeless, and it seems like there's no help. Just remember this tonight. Don't dig the grave just yet. Revival is only a breath away. Amen. I don't know about you, praise God, but isn't it good to know, praise God, that when things have died in our life and when things have become hopeless and helpless, amen, and we're ready to dig the hole. I mean, we're ready to dig the grave and just throw up our hands and say, "That's it." Isn't it good to know there's a God that still can send a breath, amen, and send revival in our lives, amen. There's been a few times, preacher, that I've been ready to dig the grave. How many of you see things died? Sometimes even in your church. How many of you see stuff dying right in front of you? And you're doing just like this widow woman. You're doing everything you can to keep it alive. But it dies anyway. Let me tell you something right now. That's a hard place to get to as a preacher. When you see stuff dying and you're doing your best to keep it alive, and it dies anyway. Why shouldn't I be discouraged then, preacher? Because when God says it's over, it's over. But until He says it's over, hallelujah, I'm glad there's still a chance, amen, for God to move in your situation and in mine. I begin to think about that. Some of you came in tonight with a problem that's overwhelmed you. You came in tonight with a burden that has overwhelmed your mind. And you came in tonight carrying your little shovel, if you will, ready to dig the grave, saying, "Well, it's over. I've tried this and I've tried that, and I've done this and I've done that. I've done everything I know to keep it alive." Let me tell you something right now. There's only one thing that'll help it, and that's the breath of Almighty God. That's the touch of Almighty God. I tell you what, we need more than anything in our churches. It is God to move and send revival among His people. Amen. Say, "Preacher, why shouldn't I dig the grave just yet?" I give you these four things and I'm done tonight. Number one, don't dig the grave just yet because you don't know who might show up at the gate. I mean, here she is. She's in the middle of the same drought that all the people in the land are in. I mean, things are bleak. She's preparing a last meal with a handful of meal and a little oil, and she's getting ready to... Now, let me tell you something right now. Put yourself in her shoes. If it's you and your little boy, and things are so bad that you're going to eat the last handful you got, and you know there's no hope for anything else, and you know you have no ability to get anything else, and people are already dying all around you. She's in a pretty bleak mindset already because she's getting ready to die. She told Elijah, said, "Me and my son are going to die." I like this, though. The Bible said that out of all the people in the land that God could have sent to her gate, I'm talking about the prophet of fire. I'm talking about the man of God that was going to stand on Mount Carmel, amen, in public display and show who the true and living God was. I'm talking about a man of God that God fed down by the brook Cherith, amen. I mean, took care of his need, and God sent him right to her gate, amen. Let me tell you something right now. If He can send Elijah to her gate, He knows your address tonight. Hey, your problem's not too hard for God tonight. There's a God knows where you're at. Hey, He don't need a GPS. Hallelujah, He made the world, amen. He knows exactly where you're at. Isn't it good to know tonight? Praise God. Some of y'all digging the grave thinking there's no way out of this. She didn't go get help. Help came to her. Amen. I like it when God sends help to us. Amen. When I can't get to Him, I'm glad He comes to where I'm at. Amen. And He showed up at the gate. Amen. Some of you right now, you got some problems right now. You don't know how you're going to handle it. But you don't know who might be on the way to come into your life to be a help to you. Matter of fact, God may have sent this preacher from Mountain City, Tennessee to show up at your gate tonight. Because some of y'all came in carrying your shovel tonight. I wish I had my shovel with me tonight. I should have brought that. But I mean, some of y'all came in ready to dig the grave on your situation. But let me tell you something right now. I'm glad God can send his man to help us in our time of need. Amen. I remember a few years ago, I was going through some discouragement and battles and struggles. I was real discouraged. It was on a Monday. It was one of them resigning Mondays. That's what I call them anyway. Resigning Mondays. Because you know you've made such a failure on Sunday that on Monday you just feel like you just got to give it up. And I was in my study. I had to go study. Didn't want to study or anything that day. And we went down to my study. I was just trying to half-heartedly going through the motions. And I wasn't really even interested in what I was doing. Didn't want to do it. And that day I was sitting there so discouraged. And I was in my study and I was trying to do a root word study on something. But I couldn't even focus my mind. Couldn't even get my thoughts together. I mean, just discouraged. And all of a sudden I said, well, I got a book over. I'll go get that and do that word study on it. I went over to my shelf and I picked up a book that I hadn't picked up in ages. And I was going to do this study. And when I did, there was something stuck in the book. And I didn't know what it was. And I looked and it was a CD. And that was odd because I don't ever put CDs in my books. I don't put nothing in my books. And that was odd because and what was really odd about it was when I opened it up and I looked at it, I didn't remember getting this CD. I don't know where it came from. I don't remember buying it. I don't know how it got there. I don't know how it got stuck in that book on my shelf. All I know is here I am so discouraged that day, I can't hardly hold my head up. And all of a sudden, I go over and pick up a book that I hadn't picked up in ages off of my bookshelf and open it up, and there's a preaching CD by Preacher Larry Brown from down in Augusta. And the title of the message was this, A Devil Called Discouragement. I'm talking about I'm so discouraged I can't hold my head up. I don't even want to study that day. And all of a sudden, here I walk in my study. Ain't nobody in there but me. I walk over, pick up a book, and there's a CD stuck in it with a message about discouragement. You say, preacher, how'd it get there? I have no idea how it got there. All I know, I don't know how Elijah got to the gate of that widow woman either, but I know he got there, praise God. Isn't it good to know, praise God, that when you're going through the darkest valleys and the most discouraging times, hey, don't dig the grave just yet, praise God, because you don't know who might show up at your gate, amen. Amen. Number two, don't dig the grave just yet because you don't know how big your little might become. Amen. I want you to notice this woman. She reminds me so much of a lot of little saints that I know. Everything in her life's little. She's got a little boy. She's got two little sticks. She's got a little handful of meal. She's got a little oil. She even had a little faith. Because when Elijah said, go and make me a cake first, he had to be a Baptist preacher to demand the cake first. And she said, she went and did, it's what the Bible said, as the man of God said to do. And the Bible said that he took that little cake and he ate it. And the Bible said the Lord touched her meal barrel. Now, she probably thought the payoff on that little cake was every day when she went back in there, there was another little handful. And that's a pretty good payment. Every day. Every day. Just when you think that God has paid you, you'll run into a problem where he's going to really show you how he pays. The Bible said her little boy died. And the Bible said there was no breath left in it. Can you imagine this? She even began to cry. Why has God brought you here to judge me? And Elijah took the little boy and said, Lord, I said, would you let his breath come back in him? Let his soul come back in him. And the Bible said, hey, let me tell you something right now. When she saw that little boy, can you imagine? Can you hear this scene? As she's downstairs, I mean, Elijah's done tucked the little boy up in the loft. She can't hear what's going on, but she knows there's something going on. She hears the man of God up there weeping, and she can hear him, oh, Lord, my God. And she hears him praying, and all of a sudden, she hears two voices. I mean, where there'd just been one, now she hears two. I can imagine she begins to think as Elijah comes down out of the loft with that little boy, she begins to think, It was just a little cake. It was just a little thing I did. But don't you look what a big thing God did for me. Amen. Let me tell you something right now. It's one thing when he puts meal in your barrel. But buddy, it's a whole nother deal when he brings somebody to life that you love. Amen. Hallelujah to his name. Don't dig the grave just yet. You don't know how big your little might become. Amen. The devil will try to tell you those little things you're doing that it ain't amounting for nothing. But I got news for you tonight. I serve a God that keeps good records. He'll take that little thing and, buddy, he knows how to turn it into something big. I've seen him do it in my life. I remember years ago, and we sang the other night, that song, I'm Not Ashamed. I wrote that thing probably 25 years ago now, and I was so discouraged that day. I mean, I was in grave digging mode that day. I mean, there's some things, some problems that come on my life. I didn't see no solution. And I said, Lord, I can't do all this. And then all of a sudden, the old devil, you know how he is. He shows up and begins to accuse you. He said, you ought to be ashamed of this and you ought to be ashamed of that. And I had to agree with him on that. But the fact of the matter is, I said, but Lord, I'm not ashamed to stand and say I love Jesus. And a little piece of cardboard on the shelf there in the grocery store, I picked it up and I wrote down that phrase, I'm not ashamed to stand and say that I love Jesus. I'm not ashamed to say I'm trusting in his word. I'm not ashamed in lifting high that bloodstained banner because I'm saved. I'm not ashamed. I'm talking about a little thing. The day I wrote that, I wasn't a songwriter. The day I wrote that, nobody knew me. The day I wrote that, I was standing on the dog food aisle. That's how low I was. Inspirations, record that thing in 2006, and it got nominated for Song of the Year, top 10 song nationwide. And they called me from Singing News Magazine to interview me. They always interview the top 10 songwriters of the songs of the year nominated. And they, here I was with Kyla Rowland and Gerald Crabb and some of those great songwriters. And they called me on the phone. Now, you know you are an amateur when it starts out like this. Well, I was on the dog food aisle. I promise, Miss Kyla ain't got no story like that now. I mean, she's got some good stories. And that one scarred hand thing, that's a good story. But she cannot say I was on the dog food aisle when I wrote that one. Stuck in dog food that day. But let me tell you something right now. God took that little old thing. And I was reminded, as I was sitting over there looking at my Bible before I got up, Brother Allen over here just went a couple of years ago, maybe a year or so, to India over there and made a mission trip over. And he brought me back and showed me a video over there where a bunch of youngins in India was singing a song called I'm Not Ashamed. I said, hallelujah. You think about a God when you're ready to dig the hole, when you're ready to dig the grave, a God that's big enough, amen, to take your little and turn it into a whole lot. Hallelujah to his name. Hey, child of God, just keep doing those little things. Just pay attention to those little things. Because let me tell you something, there's a God in glory that's keeping a record, amen. And he's good at paying back, amen. I'm glad he'll touch you, amen. He'll help you when you're ready to dig the grave, amen. Just remember this, that God is keeping good records, amen. Oh, you say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Just remember this, don't dig the grave just yet because you don't know who might show up at the gate. You don't know how big your little might become. Number three, you don't know what surrendering everything to God might do. I want you to notice what the Bible says here. The Bible says that this little boy is sitting on his mama's lap and he dies in his mama's arms. Now, it's a sad thing to stand by the bedside of somebody you love and watch them leave this world. But can you imagine a little mama sitting there, she's done everything she knows to do. And that little boy sitting there, and he's getting weaker, and he's getting weaker, and he's getting weaker. And finally, she feels the last breath go out of his little body. And the Bible says she began to cry out to the man of God. And Elijah came
And this is what the Bible said. I love that King James Bible because there's meaning in every word there. The Bible said Elijah said, give me your son. And the Bible said Elijah took him out of her bosom. He didn't say Elijah took him out of her arms. He didn't say Elijah took him out of her hands. He said he took him out of her bosom. That word bosom, if you look it up, it means to conceal, to hold. I'm talking about a mama. She's cried and she's wept and she's got this little boy. And you probably couldn't hardly see him because she's all bent over weeping because her son's died. And Elijah said, give me your son. And the Bible said she gave him to him and he took him out of her bosom. In other words, before help came, she had to open up and say, here it is. That I've been holding in, here it is. I finally just let it go. I've done all I could do to help the situation, but my help, I couldn't help it anymore. It's all over. Here it is. Let me tell you something right now. Some of you tonight, the reason you're not getting help with your problem is because you're still holding it in. You're not giving it to God. You're not surrendering to God. There's sometimes we just need to come and bear our soul to God. Sometimes we just need to come and say, God, here it is. This is what I've been holding back. This is what I've been holding on to. God, I can't do nothing with it. Here it is. I'm giving it to you. I promise you this, praise God, God will start moving when you're willing to turn loose of it, amen, and give it to him, amen. I'm going to help you in the struggles of life, amen. Don't dig the grave just yet. You don't know who might show up at the gate. You don't know how big your little might become. You don't know what surrender and everything to God might do. Kind of like the little widow woman where the man of God went. And she just needed some help. He said, what you got in the house? She said, I got a little oil. That's all I got. Said, the creditors come. Said, going to take my son. Said, I got a little oil. In order to get help, she had to open up her cabinet doors. And say, here it is. She had to confess what she didn't have, and she had to confess what she did have. Hallelujah. I'll tell you how you're going to get help tonight. You're going to have to surrender it all to him last of all. You say, preacher, why shouldn't I dig the grave just yet? Don't dig the grave just yet because you don't know who might show up at the gate. You don't know how big your little might become. You don't know what surrendering everything to God might do. But last of all, don't dig the grave just yet because you don't know when a new breath might be on the way. Think about that just a minute. Just think about that. Here's Elijah. I can see him taking this lifeless child's body. The Bible said no breath left in him. He climbs up in the loft. He lays him down on the bed. And he begins to pray. Oh, Lord, my God. And I could imagine that little old woman. She's downstairs. She's listening. And she's all tore up. And all of a sudden, Elijah's praying, Lord, if it be your will, just go ahead and let his soul come back in him. And the Bible says this. I can imagine Elijah as he's weeping and he's crying and he's looking there and there's that lifeless body. That little chest is not moving. Don't seem like there's any more hope. Then all of a sudden, little chest starts moving up and down because a new breath came. You know why I'm so excited about serving the God I serve? I mean, stuff can die. And we're ready to bury it, Brother David. We're ready to dig the hole. Sometimes even in churches. We carry, more times than not, us preachers carry our shovel with us. When all the while, what we need to remember is this. We don't know when a new breath might be on the way. I mean, you may have labored and toiled, and it seemed like it. This is what we want to do. This little boy died, what we'd be doing chest compressions. CPR. That's what we do when stuff dies. We try to perform what we can do on it. But let me tell you something right now. When God sends a new breath. Amen. You know what the Bible said he done? He revived. Yes, hallelujah. Revival took place in the loft when a new breath came. You know what some of y'all need? Same thing I need. A new breath from God on the way. I've seen it. Circumstances look bleak. I remember, and some of the people here, they can tell you from our church, when I first went to the little church I'm at, and this has been 17 years ago now, just a little handful of people, about 30 people, 35 people on a good Sunday, and didn't have no building, no money, nothing. Didn't have nothing, just a little handful of people. And there's even people questioned, said, what are you going down there for? Ain't got no people. Ain't got no money. Ain't got no property. What are you going down there for? It's pretty bleak. There's even a fella told, this dude told a lie to a guy that was wanting to come to our church. He told him, said, don't go down there. Said, they ain't even got a Sunday school down there. Well, that's a lie. That church has always had Sunday school. But the devil's a liar and the father of it. Yeah. And unfortunately, he's got some people that claim to be God's children working for him. They said, nothing will ever happen there. You can't do nothing there. That little church by the creek, ain't nothing going to happen there. See, they didn't understand that I knew that God could send a breath anywhere he wanted to, anytime he wanted to. And God's blessed us. Y'all been blessed. You've had the breath through here, brother. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to feel it? When they say it can't happen. When they say it can't happen. And God sends a new breath. What a blessing it is. Some of you here tonight, you came in with a problem that's overwhelming you. You already got the hole picked out. You're already getting ready to bury it. I got news for you. Don't dig the grave just yet. Revival is only a breath away.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
That concludes our Pulpit Hour message for today. If you would like to order a copy of today's message, you can call our studios at 828-884-9427 or write to us at WGCR 3232 Hendersonville Highway, Pisgah Forest, North Carolina 28768. You can also hear today's message on our website at wgcr.net. The Pulpit Hour is brought to you by Anchor Broadcasting.